You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Well, the Celtics were without Kyrie Irving last night, but once again, it didn't matter. They beat the Pistons by 8 and tallied 32 assists to improve to 9-2 without Kyrie in the lineup. The Celtics are now tied for fourth in the East with the Sixers. Kyrie could become a free agent at the end of the season, and he hasn't set in stone if he'll be back in Boston next year. We're joined now by NBA champion and current Celtics analyst, Brian Scalabrine, in studio.
Where's the legend? You hit me with a legend on the three, and now that I'm here, you can't call me a legend.
He's a legend. He's a Celtics legend. We appreciate having you. You gave me a hard time. I thought maybe I would take that out of the title, but now I know, moving forward, I will always address you as
legend. Now you know he likes
it. I want to go with the ginger mamba.
Yeah, that
would work better than the white mamba.
And you guys know I carry that 08 team on my back, right?
Yeah,
you guys know
that. For sure.
No question.
So, Brian, set these guys straight.
Oh, wow.
Who do I have to set straight first?
We got to see where you'll take you.
It's easy. So you want to win a championship. In Boston, it's not about participating in the playoffs. It's not about even going to the finals. You want to win, you got to have Hall of Fame special type of players. You guys all can agree that Kyrie is a Hall of Fame special type of
talk
player.
Talk to that man then.
That's the one you need to know.
Hey, regular season, I don't know
I
about.
Agree with
don't
that.
Be fooled by the yeah. Boston Green.
Yeah, you got the nice suit. If I rocked that, they'd call me a leprechaun. But here's the thing. It's all about titles. And when you have Kyrie and you think about last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, their back is against the wall. They had a chance to get over the hump against LeBron. Couldn't do it. Couldn't close that game out. Kyrie is the closer. Kyrie is that next level of a type of player who lives for that moment and doesn't care about the pressure.
I understand all of that. And nobody's saying that Kyrie isn't that type of player. I believe he is. I know that he is.
He's backpedaling now.
No, I'm not backpedaling.
You said you can't back.
Can I finish?
Yeah, don't finish.
I've said all of what I'm saying now before. I've said all this about
you
Kyrie.
You need some new material.
They are on me. Yeah. But I believe that this this Celtics team is better when Kyrie is not off the court. Not on the court. And might I add this? You mentioned last year, this has been Rob's go-to. They melted in the conference.
All right, hold up. I'll just stop. Forget last year. They had a 28-point lead against the Clippers. Kyrie hurts his knee. They lost that game at home. I don't need to talk about last year. I'm talking about right now.
You're right, but the style of play had already been set. With Kyrie, they play a different style. Without him, the ball is popping. They had 32 assists last night. And they have Gordon Hayward. Like, are we just acting like Gordon Hayward is not a part of this team and that he wasn't out, or if he wasn't out last year and that he's in now? Are you saying that this team with Gordon Hayward can't get it done?
There's two things that you have to look at. If Kyrie is off this team, is Anthony Davis, which we don't even know if he's having the conversation with the Celtics, but is he even part of that? Because Anthony Davis also is a Hall of Fame type of player, an all-time great type of player. The only thing that's different between Kyrie and Anthony Davis is Kyrie has that one title with LeBron. Kyrie has to solidify himself as an all-time great by winning one without. Think about Kobe won with Shaq. You know, after he won, when he didn't have Shaq, that meant a whole lot more to him. Anthony Davis, for him to win multiple championships, it would be like going to Boston with Kyrie Irving. I'm not sure he's having that conversation if Kyrie's not there.
No doubt about it.
Okay.
But my point is, Kyrie is adding Kyrie to the mix. This Celtics team, it doesn't put them over the hump.
Yes, it does.
It puts them. Oh, yes, so so they're winning this year.
They could.
They could, though. They
against who? You mean in the Eastern Conference Finals? Okay, so
all right, let's get into the Eastern conversation. Toronto's a good team, and the Celtics are 1-12 in Toronto in the Brad Stevens era. So, like, you have to go in there and win a game if you don't have home court advantage, right? But we saw the other night, Kyrie dropped 30-plus and 18 assists against Toronto. Kawhi Leonard, big shot, Kyrie answers. Kawhi Leonard, big shot, Kyrie answers. Kawhi Leonard missed, Kyrie scores, wins the game. Dominates the fourth quarter. You're not beating them without him. So you can have all the conversations about the ball movement,
and
the high assist.
And the CYU play and all that, and everybody's having fun. The bottom line is sports has a short menu. I tell it all the time. Wins and losses, and the Celtics are about winning championships. They know, Danny Ainge knows, he can't win a championship without a Kyrie-type player. He needs a star player. It's nice, and that's why he would trade those pieces to get Anthony Davis.
They're not winning a championship this year anyway.
No, but that's not the point.
But this is going forward, too.
Yeah. I mean,
because even if Golden State
they're beating Golden
up.
State? Well, but I'm not going to even – I'm not going to
no,
put
no,
that
I don't,
in. I'm
I don't think they would. I don't think they would. I don't think they would beat Golden State right now.
But they don't have a chance. If Golden State somehow falters, they're not winning it without Kyrie. If Golden State falters, they have a chance to win it because of Kyrie.
And you
mentioned what he does against Toronto. They're 3-1 against Toronto, I believe, this
correct.
Year. He's 30 points and 12 assists on 60% shooting. He is not the best player in the East. That would be Giannis or Kawhi when he plays, but he's the best clutch player in the East.
And we've also seen what he's been able to do against the Warriors on the big stage, in the big moments.
Right.
That's what you want to draw from. That's the guy I want to have on my team.
So if that's the case, then just wait. Let him come in the fourth quarter.
No.
When we need a clutch player and a clutch shot and a closer. I know how polarizing of a player Kyrie Irving. I'm a huge Kyrie fan. But when it comes to the fit for the Lakers and what Brad Stevens is trying to do.
Clippers. For the Celtics.
For the Celtics. I don't think they're a better team with Kyrie Irving.
Let me add, I want you to, because I do agree, the one place I agree with Greg is that the whole dynamic changes. And the problems with the chemistry, I believe, and have been told by some people, the young guys, they're looking at it like, we got to game 7 last year without Kyrie.
Didn't win.
Obviously, we played differently. The ball's moving. Rozier, Tatum, Brown, they're getting more shots. Versus when they have Kyrie, they play differently. We even saw some of it bleed out into the media when Kyrie said stuff and then
sure.
Jaylen Brown pushed back. What is the dynamic there like, and how much of a problem is it between the young guys and Kyrie and the way he wants to play?
It's like any other regular season in the NBA when you have 82 games and you're around people all the time. Young guys want to establish themselves as all-stars. Young guys want to get paid, maximum contracts. Mm-hmm. We all can understand that. And one thing about Brad is so – I've been a part of teams, and I don't know if it's the same for you guys, but this is your role. You are going to do this because we have this player, this player, this player.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, just at any level.
Everyone is.
Look at this.
But everyone establishes roles. So Brad Stevens, as a coach, does not say, you are only going to be this. I only want you to catch and shoot. What he says is, be the best version of yourself. Do the best job you can. Be aggressive. Look to score. Look to make the right basketball play. He empowers everyone on that team to be the best they can. He doesn't take other people and say, you know what? I know you're really good, but your time is going to come. Just be a defensive player and a three-point shooter. He doesn't do that. He wants everyone to be the best version of themselves, which is hard because you don't tell guys not to take shots. You don't say, hey, Kyrie's our best player. Make sure we get him the ball more and have him make plays. So it's a little bit different than what I've seen in the NBA and different than what you see around the NBA right now. It is everyone be the best you can be. Everyone try to be an all-star. Everyone try to get paid. Brad Stevens is all about everyone making as much money as possible, and he wants all of his players to do that.
Everybody loves Brad Stevens and, you know, crowns him as this great coach, but even he knows, and he's had a lot of success up to, you know, in college or whatever without having those marquee star players, but he's never been able to win. He even knows that he, even with his style and what he gets out of people, you still need that guy in those big moments.
Yeah, to win it all, you get down to matchups. The playoffs slow down. It's about owning matchups. The NBA right now in the regular season, looks completely different than what we saw in the playoffs last year. We saw a lot of isolation in the playoffs. Besides like a James Harden who's continued this season, most teams will have more success playing team basketball throughout the regular season. But in the playoffs, sometimes that's not going to work out. You need to go a go-to guy that can just break down an opponent, a guy who can force two on the ball to finally play out of that. And Kyrie is that guy.
So, what do you make of the talk, the rumblings? I mean, you're around the team every day that Kyrie, like you, a lot of people in the league think he's out of there.
Well, here's why. It's easy to if the Celtics do not provide him a championship caliber team moving forward, if he doesn't feel like he can win multiple championships with a team, then I think he will look elsewhere.
You think that's what it's going to come down to?
Oh, 100%.
Because they, I mean, if I'm Kyrie, now, selfishly, I hope he goes to New York if he can go with Kevin Durant. But I'm saying if I'm Kyrie and that's my number one thought, then why would you leave Boston? Unless, I mean, again, going with KD to New York is great. But I'm saying you got a good coach, you got role players around you, you got a great organization that knows how to win. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
that's why would it even be a question? The Knicks have a 14.5% chance of getting Anthony Davis. Think about it that way. If they win the lottery and they get the number one pick, then Anthony Davis could end up there. So, you know, like New Orleans has to fend all the offers at the end of the day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at Zion Williamson saying, all right, our fan base can rally around him. We can get a few, maybe some future draft picks. Now, if AD is now going to New York, I don't know if KD is going to go there. I don't want to do all the speculation
but
I can put together a big three of AD, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant. You are a champion. You are a dynasty type of team right now. So, yeah, the Knicks have a chance to get him. And I would think that the Celtics have to look at that and understand that.
Do you think that Brad Stevens has a tough time managing the style of play that Kyrie wants to?
No. No.
Not at all.
No.
That's the question. He hasn't had those superstar generally.
Nah, you want to know the real, like the young players have to play better when Kyrie's playing. That's just it. Like they play good. Like Terry Rozier, he's close to 20 and 6 with 8 rebounds when he starts. He has to play better. Jaylen Brown has been good coming off the bench. When Kyrie's playing, everyone has to play better. That's not an excuse.
But have to conform to his style of play.
No, you don't have to conform. Just be the best version of yourself.
He is playing a different way.
How much different?
He's handling the ball a lot more. The ball moves a lot more without him.
Check the numbers. Their passes are up when Kyrie is on the floor than when he's off the floor. When they lose, in Brooklyn, and no one ever mentions this, Brooklyn goes 44-19 in the third quarter. That ball was sticking, and Kyrie didn't play that day. So, yeah, the ball needs to move, and you also got to look at who else is playing with him on the road, what games is he sitting out. You have to look at all that. Don't look at the 9-2 record. The one example would be 28-point lead in the Garden where you just blew a 23-point lead to the Lakers.
Right.
And now the next night Kyrie gets hurt and you guys go in the tank. Where's the excuse then? That's your opportunity.
That's where I feel like the style of play is different, because with Kyrie, you're playing one way because you're dependent on him as young players and role players now to defer to him first instead of being all that I can be and showing that every single time up and down the court. And then he's out. Now it's like, okay, you want me to – I got to shift gears. Now everybody, Terry Rozier, I need you to get 20 buckets. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. Like – it's hard to just shift gears
that. Yeah, it's hard to be in the NBA. It's hard to win a championship. All that stuff is hard. I get it.
But it's easier
hard.
When you have
it's hard.
All right, well, what do you think, because I'm hearing emphatically Anthony Davis's dad has said he don't want his son playing in Boston. Do you think that's real? And do you think that Danny Ainge will be in any way deterred in going after Anthony Davis?
So once again, we only care about titles. I just weed us, right? We only care about titles. It's about hanging banners. I'm not too concerned about what Anthony Davis' father says. Now, you get him, you win with Kyrie. Obviously, hopefully Kyrie's there. And you have AD, you win a title, and he wants to leave, then guys have the right to do whatever they want. It's free agency. That's the risk you have to take. But, I mean, to win it, I think you need those type of players.
OKC took a chance. Everybody told him Paul George was going to the Lakers.
Yeah, but Paul George's dad wasn't saying he wasn't going to Oklahoma City.
No, but I'm just saying, but people didn't think that he was he was going to stay
there. Kawhi Leonard, the same thing.
Right?
I mean, you want to win, you got to take some risks.
You got to take a risk.
But here, I get it. Look, if I'm Boston and I sign Kyrie, then I'm doing whatever it takes to get Anthony Davis. But if Kyrie leaves, And I'm Danny. I don't think I'd throw out everything just to get AD. Because then if I give up Jason Tatum and all these guys. Okay, so do you think if they lose Kyrie, it's still worth giving up all these other guys
to get AD
just for what might be 1 year?
Deal will probably be in place beforehand.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
No, I get that. But I'm saying to me, it's two different things. If I've got Kyrie, yeah. But if I don't have Kyrie, am I going to risk giving up all these young guys that I know can be pretty good in the future just for what might be a 1 year rental?
That's yeah, I don't think not, Danny Ainge deals in mites. I think at that point you would
know. He's going to do it no matter what.
No, I think you know.
Well, AD, from what I'm being told, they will tell Boston we're not staying long term.
Well,
if you want to do a 1 year rental.
Well, they can't make that trade then. If he can't get a commitment.
That's what I'm asking.
I don't know. I would make it. Now, here's
you would. You would risk it.
Well, I would have some assurances from Kyrie. I mean, you understand that there's going to be some communication going on. It's not just playing in the dark.
But he's saying Kyrie's not there.
If Kyrie's gone.
Right.
And I'm Danny, I'm not. I have a problem giving up Jason Tatum and all my young guys and draft picks for what likely would be or might be a 1 year rental.
But sure. Why would Anthony Davis then want to go there if there's no
Kyrie? He wouldn't, but they would trade him. If Danny still trades him, you got to play there 1 year.
I got
that's
you.
What I'm saying.
That's not going to happen. I can guarantee you that. If they know that Kyrie is going to leave, or if Kyrie told them my intentions aren't to leave, then the Anthony Davis thing is like a different animal. Okay. You're not giving up. You know, the Celtics are have a trove of assets.
Right. Okay. Can we get the Celtics analyst to talk a little Lakers with us?
Sure.
All right.
Great job moving on, though.
What'd you say, train wreck? Oh, okay.
Are the Lakers going to miss the playoffs if they don't fire Luke Walton? That's what we're going to discuss next.
You didn't know that was the topic. No
mercy. Hey, guys. Jenny Taft here with a word from TurboTax. It's nice to have a helping hand, especially when it's tax season and that hand is attached to a licensed tax professional. With TurboTax Live, you can talk to real CPAs and EAs on demand who can review your return with you before you file and make sure you get your maximum refund. They can even check your work line by line so you can be confident it's done right. Who knew confidence and peace of mind could be synonymous with taxes? TurboTax Live with CPAs and EAs on demand. See details at TurboTax.com. No
mercy. Well, things haven't worked out as planned for the Lakers and LeBron so far. They're under 500 and are three games back in the playoff race. This is all leading to speculation that Luke Walton could be out as head coach. But that's not going to happen, according to the LA Times. Reports say Jeannie Buss, Magic Johnson, and GM Rob Pelinka are all united in keeping Walton for the rest of the season. However, the report adds the execs see a, quote, disconnect between Walton and the players, and they feel LeBron isn't totally engaged. So we are joined once again by Celtics legend Brian Scalabrine. Corrected myself.
Get it right.
I'm going to ask you to be a little unbiased in this segment as we talk Lakers. But what do you think? Would it be a mistake to let go of Luke?
Yeah. I mean, he's built this culture so far. I know it's not what they expect, but LeBron missing 18 games. That's not an easy thing to do. And the Western Conference, don't look at the records. When you look at the players in the Western Conference, night in and night out, you're in for a dogfight. And that's just how it is for the Lakers. And that's why I kind of expected them to be on the outside looking in throughout this playoff. I did not expect Sacramento to be this good or the Clippers to be this good. But it's hard out West. It's not an easy thing to get over that hump.
But to you, I agree, obviously, with Brian. I think it would be a mistake to let Luke go. You brought up the 18 games LeBron's missed. If he doesn't miss those games, they're fighting. They're probably around fifth or sixth in the West. You know, and we're not talking about Luke. They may be talking about can they win the West? You know, can they get to the conference finals with Luke? And maybe we should get rid of him because then maybe they would never be satisfied. But my point, there's other guys. You know how important Rondo can be to a team.
Sure.
He's missed 34 games. Brandon Ingram's missed 11. Lonzo Ball's missed 10. And when you have, they had about 10 or 11 guys that could arguably think, I should be playing. When you have that many guys that deserve to play and you have all these injuries, it's hard to get a set rotation. So I understand why Luke has had trouble getting the rotation set when guys have been in and out of the lineup. And I talked before, Brian, about the defense. The defense, I think that's a sign of a good team, a good coach, is when your team buckles down and plays defense. They're 12th in the league right now in defense. They were in the top 10 before Lonzo Ball got hurt, who for some reason is really important to their defense because he's long, he's rangy, he's got good instincts, and they like to switch everything so he can switch. So I'm just saying, not to mention the makeup of the roster. You put it together without three-point shooters, even though you brought in LeBron James. Then at the trade deadline, they go and get some three-point shooters.
How many excuses are you going to make?
No, these are facts.
Yeah, that was a lot,
there's a difference.
Right?
There's a difference between
facts. I came in with one.
Because I'm dropping facts. There's a difference between facts and excuses. You make excuses. I drop facts.
These are excuses. The bottom line.
Is it not a fact that LeBron was out? And then he makes a difference.
What kind of business? Is this a results business? Nobody in their right mind thought they'd be on the outside looking.
He just said it.
David, you did. You didn't think they were going to make the playoffs this year
with
LeBron James.
I just think the West is
the
beast.
One.
I don't. I look at the Western Conference.
Here's the other thing. LeBron James, Chris Broussard, is back on the court. He's
five
not injured.
Games, Rob.
And what
don't be a prisoner of the moment.
Back?
Don't
they
be a
lost
prisoner.
To Atlanta the other night. LeBron had a triple-double, and they lost. They're on the outside.
So that's why Luke should get fired.
I'm telling
because
you.
Because LeBron had a triple-double and they lost.
No, I'm just
fired.
Saying because they lost also to the Cavaliers and the Knicks at home.
Sure.
The Lakers.
Without LeBron.
You can't
don't
just
forget
pick
that fact.
Games out.
I'm picking no games.
You can't do that. Here's in 82 games, you can't do that.
Because they beat OKC. They beat Golden State.
But here's the other thing.
They're better than
Luke
those teams.
Luke wasn't hired by Magic or Palenka. He's not their guy.
Yeah, but that's not
and
what she's
when
asking.
You don't win.
That's not what she's saying. Is it should he be fired? Not is he going to?
Right.
Why
continue to,
should?
If they continue his downwards slide as we move into the final 25 games, they might need to do something to try to shake it up and save this season.
Wait, how are you going to save this season?
Easy to make the playoffs. Everybody would still rather LeBron James make the playoffs and have a chance than him being on the outside looking in and not making the playoffs at all.
I'm with Rob, and here's why. It's a mistake. And Brian, you know this. When you're in a locker room and there is conflict and there's tension, meaning you got Rondo, you got JaVale McGee, you got Lance Stephenson, all these three veteran guys on a one-year deal, they're trying to play and get an extension somewhere, and if not with the Lakers. Then you have these three young guys who are trying to play themselves into a contract and get long-term deals, and there's tension because we were out the window just a week and a half or so ago because you were trying to acquire Anthony Davis. Now all of a sudden we're here. This is what Luke Walton has to deal with, and he hasn't been able to corral these guys. You don't have the ear of your superstar in LeBron James, and so when if I'm a young guy and I'm all these other veterans and I see the number one person on this team doesn't even listen, or you can't influence him, you can't get him to play hard or engage,
play defense
or do the things that you need to do as a head coach to echo. You got to have that player that you know can speak to the team and have influence echoing what you're doing at that head coach position. And he doesn't. He doesn't have that. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I'm not saying that Luke Walton can't get another job somewhere, and I'm sure he would. But right now, they have to shake something up because LeBron isn't sold on Luke Walton. And that's why you acquire LeBron James, and now all of a sudden, we're acting as though he wasn't going to have problems with what's in place.
Was LeBron sold from the get-go?
He was sold because of Magic.
But no, was he sold on Luke?
He didn't meet him for like 4 weeks after he signed.
Because maybe they should have made the coaching. You're right. I mean, obviously you need your superstar and the other players to buy in. But if they knew if LeBron wasn't sold in November or December, maybe that would have been the time. But here I go. Even if he wasn't sold in, they still were the fourth seed. At one point.
Yeah, but that was so long ago. When you
that was
the
like
team
a
where
month
going,
and a half.
The question was, should he? That was the question. Not will he or LeBron. Should he? He should not be fired. I mean, he's done.
Why should he not be fired? Tell us.
He has exceeded expectations with LeBron out. 18
under 500?
Games? Yeah. LeBron missed 18 games.
Yeah, but some of those
go
games.
Go look at Ryan, all the games where LeBron is.
Go look at the schedule on some of the games that they lost when LeBron was out. They should have won those games. They weren't prepared.
You.
But they also beat Oklahoma City in Oklahoma City.
Very
with LeBron
nice.
Out.
And you
they
know what?
Weren't you just the one that said
lost 18 straight? The Knicks have lost 18 straight. Guess what game they won?
The Laker game.
In L.A.
That's the reason.
If you're going to discredit Luke and the Lakers.
Oh,
no. You just. If you're going to discredit and blame him for the bad losses, then you have to give him credit for the good wins.
See, this is
give him credit for Golden State.
This is what
give
I'm
him credit
doing.
For OKC, at OKC without LeBron.
I'm not blaming Luke. I'm just saying from
the answer is no.
So you're not saying you should.
No, he should not be fired.
From a team dynamic, when you're in a locker room and you don't have the ear of the players from a head coach perspective, the odds are you're going to move on with that guy because we need somebody that can corral these guys, that these guys are going to be willing to play for. It's not about how great a coach you are and how effective you've been with or without LeBron James. Where are they and what they've done? Two totally different things. I want them to be successful. I believe
that. You see it.
But I can. I'm a real
reason for him. He should be fired because LeBron and the players are basically tuned him out.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Let's look at this from a different angle. So the LA Times report from Brad Turner says that Luke's job is safe through the end of the season. Okay, so there's that. Lakers are still trying to make the playoff. They're a couple games out. We'll have Brian chime in and try to help the Lakers make the playoffs. You've played with Rondo. Rondo's on that roster. What kind of leader is he? Maybe he's an X factor that can step up and corral this team and get them to refocus, maybe.
I just saw them come back from a big deficit in Boston on a big night, Thursday night, Patriots in the front row getting honored, all that stuff. And they came in and they chipped away. They looked like a well-coached team. Now you move on to the Atlanta game, you go to the Philadelphia game.
And in Indiana, where they gave up 140 points.
And they gave up the 42 points. So they're inconsistent, but that's expected with LeBron coming back. He will just go back. They had an all-time great team when he was in Miami. They lost 5 of 6 games during that stretch. So he has had those type of things. Now, with Rondo there, they can find a groove with all kinds of Lonzo Ball getting hurt, Ingram getting hurt. Once they find their groove, then I could see them winning 8 of 9. And now all of a sudden, 8 of 9 gets you into the playoffs. So that is, to me, for them, with LeBron missing all these games, that should be the standard. And going back to Rondo, I think he's a phenomenal leader. I know it's like he's very polarizing when you think about.
But when he gets in a situation where he fits well.
Yeah, and he can lead teams. He can make players better. So you have young guys. The biggest thing you want to do this season for them is take your young guys and showcase them. LeBron makes people around him better. Rondo makes people around him better. If I have young players and I'm trying to showcase them, I want those two guys on my team. And I think Luke Walton also understands that. I don't know if he'll be back next year, if they got AD in the offseason. I don't know any of those things. But I'm looking at what they're doing right now. Luke Walton, Rondo, LeBron, they do have what it takes to flip the switch and get into the playoffs in the Western Conference. But they can't have those bad losses to Atlanta on the road.
The legend has spoken.
There we go.
And the legend agreed with me. I'll have you two know. I'm just saying.
Chris,
he did.
You believe everyone agrees with you.
It does. That's
the question was, should Luke, would it be a mistake to keep Luke the rest of the year? He said no.
I don't want to debate it
Greg
again.
Greg and I said moving on.
Yeah. Moving on.
Moving on.
No mercy.
Is Odell Beckham Jr. done in New York? Fox Sports' Jay Glazer predicted yesterday that Odell will get traded this offseason. Odell signed a monster contract this past offseason, but his season ended for the second year in a row with an injury. Adding to that, he's been a fixture in the headlines for the wrong reasons and prone to emotional outbursts on the sideline over the last few years. Well, after Glazer's prediction, Beckham posted this cryptic tweet with 2 emojis. Guess he's keeping his mouth shut, but he's happy about it. I don't know how to interpret that one, Greg, but we'll start with you. What do you think? Time to move on from the Giants?
From the Giants? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is one of your best players when healthy and when given a great opportunity to compete at a high level. And when I look at Odell Beckham, I look at a young man that we give a hard – We judge him off of everything that we've seen in the past, but we overlook all the good in the pros about him. This year, even when we look at that tweet, we say, is it a cryptic tweet? He's just saying, my mouth is shut.
With then the very happy face.
In the happy face. He could be happy. What's wrong with that?
Come on,
this year,
coming into OG 101 in college.
I didn't either. But coming into this year, Odell Beckham was not under contract. They signed him to, or he was under contract. He wanted a new deal, got a new deal, big contract. And everybody's like, don't pay him. Why would you pay him? He brings all this other stuff. Did we have any issue with Odell this year? No. Did the Giants have any issue with Odell Beckham?
The Lil Wayne interview.
No.
That was it. That wasn't that bad. I'm with you.
There was nothing wrong with that. My point is we pick and we pry at little things to make them bigger than what they are. The fact of the matter is Odell Beckham is one of the best receivers in all of football when healthy and when having a quarterback that can get him the football. Sorry to hurt you and make you cry and tear up a little bit, Jamie, about Eli, but that's the problem in New York. When I look at Odell Beckham, his stats last year, he had 77 receptions. As a wide receiver, being that effective, your running back had 91, Saquon Barkley. Love everything about Saquon Barkley, but it tells me that Eli Manning is not pushing the ball down the field. He is going to dink and dunk. He's going to go check down first. So you can't even utilize the asset that you really have in an Odell Beckham. Where is he most effective? Down the field, putting pressure on the secondary in deep thirds. Eli Manning doesn't thrive in that area. That's not his level of expertise. He wants to dink and dunk. Look at the Giants. They were fourth in the National Football League in yards after the catch with 2,108 yards after the catch. These are all yards, mind you, that goes to the quarterback statistics. Yards, that means when you throw me the ball, whether it be at 2 yards, 10, or 15, and I get an extra 30, 40, I credit that to you. That's my work. And so when I'm looking at what the Giants have done, they continue to mask how bad Eli Manning really is because of how great they are with the ball after getting it in their possession. And Saquon Barkley has a lot to do with that. Sterling Shepard has a lot to do with that. And Odell Beckham, more than probably any, has even more to do with that.
Now, Greg, I'm an Odell Beckham. I like him as a receiver. I enjoy watching him. He's one of the best. But the argument you're making, if that's the case, Eli hasn't changed. He shouldn't have signed a deal in New York.
He has changed.
No, I'm not talking about... No. I'm talking about...
Odell.
If Eli can't do those things, that hasn't changed over since he signed that contract. That was already going on. Is what I'm saying to you is he shouldn't have signed on with Eli knowing that he's going to be the quarterback. He should have asked the Giants to move him because he can't use his talent.
Come on
I'm
now.
I'm not going to buy that.
If Odell Beckham goes outright and says, I'm not signing until you move Eli Manning, what would we be talking about?
I don't want to sign here because the offense and what you do here doesn't enhance my talent.
You can't tell me
that after the fact, Greg. It would be different if Eli was throwing the ball down.
He's not. 5 years,
it's not your turn yet.
Dollars?
Can I go? Yes. You can't use that,
logic.
Greg.
No.
You can't use that. Tom Brady dinks and dunks all over the field. They praise Tom Brady.
Well, he wins Super Bowl.
Now you're going to tell me that Eli, because he dinks and dunks, you shouldn't count the yards for him? Come on now. That ain't right. And I'm on Odell Beckham Jr.'s side. I don't have a problem. He's wired different. I don't want a choir boy. I don't want everybody to be the same. I remember Rasheed Wallace in Detroit. Everybody would say, Rasheed, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting this way? That's how he's wired. That's why they won a championship. They needed a guy like that. I don't have a problem with the off the field and him being him. But don't tell me that about the Eli thing is the reason that he's going to act out. You shouldn't have signed there.
Eli's no problem.
He hasn't been good.
I said that for 2 years. He's no good.
Hold on, but here's the thing.
No, but Greg, I don't buy your argument that it's all about, okay, because Eli is not doing what he wants. He knew that when he signed the contract. Yes or no, Greg? Did he not know that?
He did know that, but he also had the idea that everyone else has. Oh, this time with Eli is almost
right.
Up. We're going to be getting somebody else to take its
place. But he didn't know who that was going to be.
It doesn't matter.
God.
It doesn't matter, but that's appealing.
They should have moved on from Eli.
Yes, but I'm just telling you, when he signed the contract, Eli was in place.
But here's the thing. Greg was not saying
Odell's acting out because he's frustrated with Eli. Because number one, he's not acting out. He just said,
no, but you're saying why he's not happy, though, right?
He didn't say he's not happy. His emoji has cheeks, right? That means you're happy? I mean, like, all Greg said he hasn't been a problem this whole past season, which he wasn't. Even like you said, the Lil Wayne thing wasn't a big deal. People made it a big deal. He hasn't acted out. What he said is that, first of all, he's got great production. 77 catches. I mean, it's not where he should be.
He missed four games.
Right.
Got it.
He had good production, and he would have better if he had a better quarterback.
Greg, you know this, too. I get that. I'm telling you, Eli's finished. I told you that, Chris.
So why are you defending?
But I'm going to say this. You can accept any other stuff that OBJ's doing when you win. When you don't win, people look at all the other stuff, and I think that's why. And I'm not saying it's his fault that the Giants didn't win. This is 2 years in a row where the Giants were stinky, weren't good. So when you look at that, people have a tendency to frown on a guy who's making a lot of money. His production is just okay. And you might say, was it great?
He's wildly viewed, great? Rob, as one of the
for
best
missing
receivers.
I agree with that.
Widely viewed. So nobody's
agree with wait. You're saying his production was okay. You give him four more games?
When you don't win, it's okay.
He's
a 1,000-yard receiver. You give him four more games,
right?
He ends up with at least 1,300
but
yards.
But did it translate to winning?
Okay, let me answer
that
for you, Rob.
No, because their team is just not good.
I agree.
Specifically
at the quarterback position.
As a wide receiver. Your wins, obviously, wide receivers are very important, but you look at some of the best ones in the league. Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, Adam Thielen. None of them made the playoffs. It wasn't that they can't produce, that they're not one of the best receivers in the league. It was that the team wasn't good enough. And in some cases, the quarterback wasn't
That's
good
funny,
enough.
That's funny, because when you did the highest quarterbacks, you named those guys.
The only top receivers that really made the playoffs were from the Rams and the Chiefs. And they have great quarterbacks. So I'm saying, for those fans that want to look at Odell and say, you know what, we should move him because as good as he is, we aren't winning. No, that's not the receiver's fault. Get him a better team, build around him, and you guys can win.
My argument is with the whole quarterback situation. All I'm saying is if he knew that he was going to be in the spot and the Giants let everybody know that Eli was coming back, Eli was going to stay in that spot, he shouldn't have signed there if Eli
He's
can't
He's not complaining,
football.
Though. OBJ isn't complaining, right?
But my point to that, Rob, is if Odell Beckham comes out and says, I don't want to be here.
He doesn't have to say it publicly.
No. If he says it to anyone, somehow, we're going to find out about it. You want to know why? Because they're going to blast whatever he says and project it in a way to make him look like the typical receiver. Diva, selfish, Odell Beckham. It's all about him.
What was the name that he was – what team was he linked with before he had gotten the
Rams.
Deal? Oh, yeah. You know why? Because they scored 33 points. They throw the ball down the field. I don't blame him.
But
I'm
the
not
rumor
blaming
was
him.
That the Giants were looking to trade him. They were looking to trade him.
I just feel
and I'm
like –
I'm sure he would rather be with the Rams.
The question is it time for the Giants to move on?
I said no.
No. They should not move on. They should not move on from Odell Beckham. He's a young player with mass production lying ahead of him. Now, I'm not even talking about what he's done. He has so much more that he yet can still do. Eli Manning is offensively, because defensively, we're not going to even open that door. That's a big Pandora's box that needs to be just kept closed. Offensively, Eli Manning is the problem.
Right.
He's the one that should be out. Not Odell Beckham.
I said it 2 years ago. So
they should have drafted a quarterback last year.
We talked
this
about
year,
it on
you
the
draft
radio.
Well,
I don't mind them not drafting the quarterback because you got Saquon Barkley.
I need
Barkley.
A quarterback more than running.
Yes.
That's
you got Saquon Barkley, so you
okay, then draft
the
Dwayne Haskins if you can this year.
Well, Saquon Barkley didn't help Odell Beckham Jr., and that's the problem. So you might have gotten a player from the running back spot, but did you help your big wide receiver
Barkley, you're right, Barkley was great. I mean, he's arguably the best back in the league already. I'm just saying the quarterback position is much more important.
When we saw there was times when Pat Shurmur is on the sideline and Odell will come to the sideline and he would embrace him saying, it's okay. Like, pretty much saying, I understand. You don't have to say anything. This is why we see the zip lip emoji, because internally they know Eli Manning is on a time clock. Like, they know Odell isn't the problem.
Right.
It isn't this guy. Like, we need you. We want you to stay locked in. Keep your hands to the plow. Keep your head down. Continue to work. Okay. Stay healthy and continue to produce for us, because we'll get you what you need.
So if Jay Glazer is right and his prediction comes true, what would be the reason the Giants would have traded OBJ? That would be my question to you.
And my answer would be I would have to try to ask and find out. Period.
You would be totally stunned that the
I would be stunned. Okay. I would
say they got blown away with the offer.
I would be stunned.
I would say that there's some internal stuff that people don't know.
If you feel like you're gonna acquire more assets that can solidify your chance of winning.
You don't trade away a talent like that.
Well, the Giants have a lot of areas to address. So
exactly.
On what kind of assets they can get. Thank you for not making me jump on Eli.
Are you verklempt now?
I did not want to do that. I'm not verklempt.
Okay.
But
look, and we both agree.
Should Eli still be there? No, I'm just
he's going to be a Hall of Famer. So we're not jumping on Eli, but he's 38. It's just time.
McAdoo with the bad hair benched Eli. I was outraged by that decision.
But you know it was the right decision.
No, I don't think it was the right decision. I think that was wrong, and I think that put the entire fan base on a sympathetic side with Eli. And then last season.
So it forces this year to come to this, because they feel like, well, let's keep Eli there because the fan base is upset.
They did that last year. That was the year they appeased the fans. Okay. Now.
All right, well, I escaped that without crying.
No mercy. February isn't just about one super-sized football game. On Spotify, there's thousands of free sports podcasts that agonize over the preseasons, off-seasons, and plain old regular seasons of nearly every sport imaginable. Basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, curling, and even hurling. Yeah, that's a real sport. Look it up. Now it's so easy to stay updated with the latest trade rumors, predictions, and scorching hot takes from some of your favorite game's biggest names. So take it one episode at a time and give 110% of your attention to the thousands of free sports podcasts on Spotify. Because the best offense is a good podcast. No
mercy. Flacco was traded in principle by the Ravens yesterday and is heading to Denver. Nine News in Denver reports the Broncos chose Flacco after, quote, kicking the tires on Nick Foles because Flacco fits better with the Denver's offensive coordinator. Flacco will be the third new quarterback in the last three seasons, and Denver has missed the playoffs for three straight years since winning the Super Bowl in 2015. Elway has been under fire for failed experiments with the likes of Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, and Case Keenum. So, guys, Rob, we'll start with you. You still have faith in John Elway?
No way, no how. You've heard of people calling people the quarterback whisperer. John Elway is officially the quarterback wastelander, because all he does is get quarterbacks after the fact or who are no good. For a guy who was so great as a quarterback and won two Super Bowls, I just don't understand where he's going here. Flacco, the last 5 years in the NFL, Greg Jennings, worst quarterback rating in the league. Never made a Pro Bowl. I know you could go back and talk about 2012 and the unbelievable year he put together.
Or 2014, when he helped them get to the playoffs.
No, 2012. 2012 when they were
10-6.
No, I'm talking about the Super Bowl year when he had 11 touchdowns and no picks throughout the postseason.
I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying.
I'm with you.
I got that year, but that was a long time ago. John Elway has swung and missed over and over and over. And you mentioned the name, Siemian and Paxton Lynch and Brock Osweiler. Didn't he have them twice? I mean, he didn't even realize. He took them and then got rid of them and then got them back.
Right.
Twice.
He strikes a strong figure. He can fool you. He's 6'8".
Is that what it is?
He looked good.
And then here's the other thing. Everybody was to say, we get it. Flacco can throw the ball better than Case Keenum. I get that. But the numbers the last 2 years are almost identical. They're almost identical. This is not an upgrade. It's a downgrade. Why in the world is John Elway doing this? It doesn't make any sense. If you want to go out and get a quarterback and say, hey, I got somebody, and he's definitely better than the guy we had, I get that. This guy is not. Flacco's done. That's why Baltimore moved on. Denver made a big mistake. And John Elway continues to bring wasteland quarterbacks to Denver.
I'm not going to defend his quarterback record.
Because you can't.
No, you can't.
It's impossible.
Right. But I do think Flacco is a slight upgrade over Case Keenum. And I don't think, if they were looking at Joe Flacco as our answer, our savior for the next 5 years, I'd be worried. But he's on a non-guaranteed contract. I think he's an upgrade because he can throw the deep ball. Case Keenum really doesn't. He's a proven winner. Case Keenum really isn't. You know, I know he won the Super Bowl. You're right. It was a while ago. But he is a proven winner. And you'll talk about his stats. Oh, among starters, he's at the worst this, the worst that. He's a perennial starter, though. Case Keenum isn't even a perennial starter.
What does that mean?
Nobody cares about that.
He's a starting caliber quarterback. And Case Keenum for Baltimore.
Was he starting in Baltimore?
Has not been. Just now.
Why not? Why not?
I'm not saying he's great.
Because he was out of the playoffs.
I'm saying he's better than Case Keenum.
Blake Bortles is a starting quarterback, but what's your point?
Let me answer the question. Because the question wasn't, have you lost faith in John Elway getting you a quarterback? The question was, have you lost faith in John Elway as the leader of the Denver Broncos? And I answer with a hearty no. John Elway, he's put Denver back on the map. The 5 years before he got there, they had missed the playoffs.
Old news.
It's news. It's truth. The 5 years.
Old news.
When you talked yesterday about Arizona going to hire a coach, going to get a quarterback, what do you look at? His resume. I'm giving you John Elway's resume, not as a great player, but as a great executive. All right, they missed the playoffs 5 straight years before he got there. They were 4-12 the year before he got there.
He took them to the playoffs.
They've been his first 100.
Let me finish.
What was their record that year?
His first 100 games as a GM, he won more games than any other GM in their first 100 games in league history. That includes Al Davis, Bill Polian, Tex Schramm. 71 games. So two bad seasons, you're going to throw him out? Who hasn't had two bad seasons other than the guys in New England? What other front office in the NFL? Does Pittsburgh have a good front office? Yes, but it's a mess there. They just missed the playoffs. Does Philadelphia have a good offense?
Was he a former quarterback? Yes. Was he a former quarterback?
A lot of times. We talked about it yesterday.
They had a great defense, and they got a championship because they got Peyton Manning, who wanted to come to Denver,
exactly.
Right?
He's not the only front office guy that hasn't been able to get a quarterback.
But this is who we're talking about.
We're talking about John Elway, though.
No, my point is, are you ready to fire? He shouldn't be running the Denver Broncos? Because that was the question. I stick on task, all right? The question was, should he be running the Broncos? Not, can he pick a quarterback?
He should definitely be
running the Broncos.
So the reason why the question is being asked is because of the acquisition and the trade for a Joe Flacco, a quarterback, an area that John Elway has struggled. So then the question then is arise. Do you still have faith in John Elway? And we're basically asking about his quarterbacking.
That's what we're talking about, Chris.
Let's not try to change the narrative. That's the reason why we're talking about it today.
But why are we talking about it today?
Because we're talking about quarterbacks. And when we look at it, you talk about all these records that he had, first general manager, 100 wins. I don't care about that.
Really? Why not? That's wins. Not to mention a Super Bowl.
Before Peyton Manning got there, they were 20-28. Since Peyton Manning has left, they're 20-28. They don't win, and it's because they haven't been able to put a quarterback in the position that Peyton Manning left them void.
Peyton Manning
leaves a big void.
Right.
Do you think they should be focusing on other positions?
No, they have to get the quarterback position right. You have to get the quarterback position right. And he hasn't done it. Nobody's saying it's easy. But you're John Elway, so you're going to be automatically, it's like Michael Jordan. Everybody's like, Mike, you got to get this right. How come you can't evaluate talent? You're the greatest
player of all time. Why did you draft Kwame Brown?
Yeah, and so when I look at this, Michael Jordan does not have an NBA championship as an executive.
He does not have 5 straight playoff appearances as an executive.
Listen, you acquired like Brock Osweiler. The same draft, you could have got Russell Wilson. You could have got Nick Foles. You could have even acquired Kirk Cousins. But no, let me take this Brock Osweiler guy.
Yes, please.
He's a good guy.
He's not defending his quarterback.
He looks the part. You know, he's more like me. You know what? And this is the same thing, the same trend I'm seeing. He's doing it all over again with Joe Flacco.
Because
he's a big quarterback. He has a big arm.
Is he better
than Case Keenum?
He's not better than Case Keenum.
Nope, he's not. He's better looking than Case Keenum.
And look, he's not throwing the long ball better than Case Keenum.
From a quarterback perspective.
Thank you for clarifying.
When I look at these stats, you said the last two seasons. I got the last two seasons as 25 game starter. Flacco 13-12, Case Keenum 17-13, 64% completion percentage for Case Keenum, 62% for Flacco.
Was Flacco throwing to Stephon Diggs? And
I don't care about.
No matter who you throw it to, no.
I don't care about
you
all
know
that.
You know how much important a receiver is and the quality of your receivers.
Did Case Keenum get the credit he deserved for throwing to
him? Yeah, he got a nice contract with Denver.
And so now you push him out
because we got to watch him for a whole 16 games. A guy
who just got benched for a rookie quarterback coming in because he wasn't going to allow us to advance to the postseason. But you know what? I'll take him because he looks the part. He looks better than what I have right now. And what I thought I was getting into with Case Keenum, which I was wrong there too. Not saying Case Keenum is great, but he was wrong there too. You know what? Let me fill this up. Let me cover this up with Joe Flacco and then try to usher Case Keenum out the window and try to acquire some acquisitions for him. John Elway has just completely demolished this quarterback asset. Like, he's gotten it wrong every single year.
Peyton Manning chose them. Yes, but Indianapolis chose to move on from Peyton. How long was he in Indianapolis?
Because they had a plan. They had Andrew Luck.
Let me ask you a question.
Because they got it right.
Yes, how long was he in Indianapolis?
It doesn't matter.
11 years, whatever it was. He got one Super Bowl. He was in Denver for 3 years. Got one Super Bowl and wasn't at his best. Yeah, so my point is, John Elway, when Indianapolis, a good front office, got rid of him, thought he couldn't win anymore.
It wasn't a matter of the Colts thinking that he couldn't win anymore. They saw an opportunity to acquire what they felt they could continue to advance their franchise with in an Andrew Luck sitting at the number one, number two slot. And, like, I can get him.
And they had a quarterback with a fused neck.
Yes.
I mean, that was the logical decision to make.
He had a fused neck in Denver, too.
You know, he played well.
He did play well.
The year that they won the Super Bowl, he didn't play well.
Who put that team around him?
That same team went 20-8 without him. As soon as he left.
Okay, who put
28, I'm sorry.
Who put that team around Peyton?
But he just gave you the number.
That took a decrepit Peyton Manning to the Super Bowl.
They had an unbelievable defense. We know that.
Who built that team?
Wait a minute.
Who built that team?
Peyton Manning's last year, he completely fell off the cliff.
Yes. Okay.
And that defense propelled them to where they got to in the Super Bowl. John Elway.
Okay. That's all.
That's the question.
Jamie asked the question. You guys are on fire.
What quarterback does he have?
He's got to do better with quarterbacks. I get it. I'm just saying he can build a team. He's proven that. And he'll get the quarterback straight like him.
One of these years, he's been saying it for years. He'll get it straight one of these years.
He's going to be right.
I was right about the Lakers.
Look, I'm not. I'm done on John Elway and quarterback.
As president of the team.
He's not getting it done at the quarterback position.
But what about the rest of the team?
They're not good. He gave you the numbers, Chris. What part don't you get?
I don't get why you're ready to discard. Other than a general manager. Other than
you want to know why?
Super Bowl. Yeah,
you
want to
know why? Because you need a superstar at the quarterback position.
Oh,
you need a superstar at the quarterback position.
Is Nick Foles a superstar?
Absolutely.
Please.
Guys, that was
he
fun.
Was in that Super Bowl.
Did Kyler Murray's agent call Rob Parker a loser yesterday? What
was that?
Did he?
Wow.
We'll discuss it next. Kyler Murray's agent.
No mercy.
Kyler Murray chose the NFL over baseball earlier this week. Now the attention is on how high he'll go in the draft. Kyler is the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, but a lot of critics are focused on his 5'10" stature. Kyler's agent called out the critics recently on a Barstool Sports podcast, saying, quote, the NFL dinosaurs that are talking about the things he can't do are losers. Rob,
was he talking about me?
We're not calling you a dinosaur. But do you think that Kyler should be upset with the criticism about his height?
Yeah. No, he shouldn't. He'd have to accept it. It is his height. We understand. We talked about it, Greg. You were just talking about John Elway picking quarterbacks who look like him in size. So that's a part of what goes on. But all of the mock drafts and stuff coming out say he's going to be a first-round pick. So it's not like he's totally being overlooked or people aren't even considering him. So I don't even understand why this would come out and why his agent would put it out so people can look and say, what? You know, what's going on? This is what people do when they judge people. Chris, we talk about it all the time. You nitpick, right? If you're going to make somebody a first-round pick, Greg, don't you nitpick at him and look and say, okay, he can do this, he can do that, but can he do that? Does he have the right speed? Does he have the right size? Is his weight right? This is what people do when you start to evaluate people. So they're not treating him unfairly or doing something that other people wouldn't get when you're going to be a top pick in the NFL draft. He's already gotten a lot of respect. We mentioned it over and over. He has a chance to be the first player to be drafted in the first round in two sports, baseball and football. It's never happened in the history of this country. So do they respect him as a player? Absolutely. Can people question whether or not his height is going to be an issue in the league? Absolutely. That's what analysts do. That's what scouts do. His agent is way off base.
Yeah, he shouldn't be concerned about the criticism. You can't focus on all of that. And what the agent is doing is making matters worse. Not for his draft status, but just simply for Kyler Murray. Like, he doesn't need this type of attention. He doesn't care about them talking about his height. He understands how tall he is, 5'9", 195.
Right.
Soaking wet. Nobody's really saying he can change that. We know he can't change that, but one thing I know that he can do is play football. And in football, there's this idea that, you know what, only one team needs to like me. There's only one team needs to say, I don't care, I'll give him a shot. So with the agent calling out all these
dinosaurs.
NFL dinosaurs, so what? If some of these owners and these general managers in these teams say, yeah, I'm not going to touch him, so what? There's 32 options. Mm-hmm. And if you think that all 32 of these teams are going to pass on a talent like Kyler Murray, when everybody is going, I gave you guys the stats of the shotguns. Offenses are run out of shotgun. The offensive snaps in the National Football League, 67% are out of shotgun. So his height has no bearings in that. No one cares about the height after you're under center or unless you're under center. Well, with 67%, almost 70% of snaps being from shotgun, Kyler Murray is in this new evolution of NFL. We're not in the dinosaur days of NFL where you're playing under center. So why are you even entertaining this as an agent? You understand where you alluded to it. Like, he's projected to go in the first round.
But there's a lot of money at stake.
No, but I get that, but you bring in a whole nother side of issues or topics or questions that now I as a player have to answer because of you opening your mouth. Like, look, as an agent, you know, all it takes is one team. So you're not, you shouldn't even concern yourself with all 32 teams. You're not going to all 32 teams in the first place.
If there was like a stream of GMs, right, that said, no, I wouldn't take him in the first round under any circumstance, then maybe I could see where you would push back. But that's not what we've heard.
No. But you also don't need to push back with the term losers. I mean, these are guys you want to employ your client, okay? And even if you get, they don't draft you, maybe you end up there in the future. So this quote...
Or another client.
Yeah, this quote, I don't know who his agent is, but this quote makes me think his agent is like a 22-year-old that just got out of college.
It's a little...
Or dropped out. Yeah. It's immature. It's childish. Now, the fact that he said it on Barstool... Maybe he got caught up within the language and, you know, and all that. The
You're trying to say they're not reputable?
Atmosphere. And, well, they just, you know, they just talk. They don't talk professional language, you know. So they're cursing and stuff like that. So maybe he got caught up in all of that. But this was not a good look. And unfortunately, it can reflect negatively on Kyler. I mean, I get where the – I get the sentiment behind what he's saying, as you pointed out, with the shotgun – with the RPOs, it's a different NFL. He could have brought up something like, look, Kyler's already done something that basically nobody his size has done. I don't know about forever, but since 2000, of the 16 quarterbacks that won the Heisman, only Kyler was under 6 feet tall. So you could talk about things like that, like put that in teams is, you know, on their plate and let them think about that. He's already proven that this is a once in a generation type kid because he won the Heisman at his size. It's not just the NFL where short quarterbacks have struggled. College too, to a lesser degree, but still they've struggled. So you can point out things like that rather than going at people who know football. No matter how bad we may say a GM is or a team president or a coach, they know football.
That's their business.
Right. And so for somebody to just come out of the blue, an agent, and criticize them like that just wasn't a good
one. Yeah, it's just counterproductive to what the message that even Kyler Murray had put out saying, I'm locked in on football. I'm choosing football. I'm passionate about football. Then at the end of his statement, he went on to say, I want to show all NFL decision makers that I am the franchise quarterback. All NFL decision makers that I am the franchise quarterback. He's not saying I am a franchise. I am the guy.
Right.
And you're saying he's saying that to all decision makers. And then your agent comes out and he says all these NFL dinosaurs.
Right.
Like, come on, you can't do that. I just put out a statement making sure that they understood how adamant and how real I am about football
and committed.
How committed I am about football, fully committed, may I add, and you just go and do this?
Right. It came off really bad. It sounded like someone who's immature, maybe hadn't had a star player
right,
or something
right.
before
right.
because they didn't, didn't know how to handle the situation. I agree. It should have been positive stuff rather than about what he had done.
You could have said the same thing.
Rather than ripping on.
In a much more professional.
Exactly.
Way.
You don't even have to acknowledge that because we know the NFL is evolving. We know that these smaller quarterbacks, look, it's been proven the year before. Johnny Manziel, look at him. The Cleveland Browns. They had a plan.
Baker Mayfield.
I'm sorry. I said Johnny Baker Manziel. Mayfield. Baker Mayfield.
Well, the but Cleveland, they got him. It didn't work out, but they drafted him.
But Baker Mayfield last year, he's the template. Like, the Cleveland Browns, nobody thought that the Cleveland Browns were going to pick Baker Mayfield. Everybody had Baker Mayfield third and fourth right. on their draft profile when it came to quarterbacks. They had Sam Darnold and all these other guys in front of him, but Cleveland Brown didn't care. The Cleveland Browns didn't care. It takes one team, and that's why I'm like, you're an agent. You know these things. Why would you even challenge all of the teams? It only takes one.
And you have the blueprint.
Do you think that would hurt his draft order, his way where he would go?
No, I don't.
Comments?
What the agent said?
I don't think it's gonna hurt. I don't think it's gonna hurt him because he
don't
didn't say it.
That guy, right? It didn't come out of his.
It didn't come out of his mouth. And sometimes, look, let's be honest. Agents say things to where they think that they're gonna advance our position.
That's amazing.
And sometimes they hurt it. And in this instance, I don't think he hurt his position as where he can get drafted. But you didn't hurt his stance of, or you didn't help him in a sense of putting this out. versus what I said in my statement to make sure all NFL decision makers know that I am the guy that you're looking for.
We probably won't hear from that agent again. Like, I bet you there's a conversation with his family.
If we
and
do,
well,
we,
you know what I mean? If he kept saying stuff like this, what it would do is make you question Kyler's decision-making to some degree. Yeah. Like, this is the guy you have
representing. Represent.
You'll let one time go. But if he keeps doing it,
yeah, you don't want your
I doubt you'll hear from him. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.